With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
100 years. 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Ring it. He's going to go all the way.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice.
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
It's 150 years of college football as new national powers emerge.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
Superstars are dominating Saturdays like never before.
Jake wants to throw corner route to the right.
I think, touchdown.
Boy, you can't throw that football any better, Jake Fromm.
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, T.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Happy Sunday, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Damon Amendolara with you over the next 2 hours. What a show we have. We've got Willie Rofe, one of the greatest offensive linemen ever, Pro Football Hall of Famer, as we celebrate 100 years of the NFL all season long with Super Bowl champions and Football Hall of Famers. Willie will join us coming up later on in the hour. Also, excessive celebration this hour, the best play-by-play calls of yesterday's college football action. That includes Illinois' amazing escape against Michigan State and Oklahoma surviving against Iowa State. Also, in hour number two, your Vegas virtuoso, we'll talk to Jonathan Von Tobel from VSiN in Vegas, host of The Edge. We'll get his thoughts on the Vegas perspective on the line today around the NFL. All of that coming up this morning on the show. We'll preview today's NFL action as well. And as always, we welcome your phone calls at 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. You can watch us on Sunday Morning Football by using watchda.com as the URL that's available on any device, anywhere, watchda.com. Where else to begin, however? Tuscaloosa, Alabama, number two versus number three. Alabama had a banged-up quarterback. How effective was Tua Tagovailoa going to be? LSU was at full strength with perhaps the number one pick in the draft hitting on all cylinders, but they were going on the road to Bryant-Denny Stadium where almost never the Alabama Crimson Tide loses. Almost never. You can count on one hand the times Nick Saban had lost at home in his career as head coach at Alabama. That's how dominant Bama has been at home under Saban during this current dynasty. Yesterday, the hype, billed as the game of the century, billed as the two best teams in the college football landscape. And when all was said and done, the dust cleared 3.5 hours later. That was an instant classic that lived up to the hype, that lived up to the billing, and had absolutely everything. And today, LSU is no doubt the best team in college football. Let's start with your Sunday gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
At one point in time yesterday, LSU led 33-13, a 20-point lead at Tuscaloosa. What was happening? You knew Bama would not go quietly into the night. And late in the game, as the Crimson Tide made that comeback charge, LSU needed one more score.
First down, goal to go for the Fighting Tigers. Snap to Burrow. Hand to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Goes near side. Stiff arms a man. Gets to the five. Breaks through. Stays upright. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Tigers! Clyde Edwards-Helaire wanted it more than anybody in crimson and white.
We're going to see where this leads us. We took a big step in beating Alabama, obviously, tonight. I knew we were a better team. I didn't think we were out physical at all. I thought we could handle them physically. Now, they made some plays. We made some plays. But I think we're right there where we need to be.
The bottom line is, especially in the first half, you know, we didn't play very well. We don't want to waste a failure. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from the things that we did and didn't do today. I think that everybody's got to make a commitment to finish the season the right way.
Ed Ogeron, Nick Saban, and Tigers Radio Network. The LSU Tigers answered the bell. And people wondered if this was going to be their house of horrors, but I talked about this throughout the week. LSU's the better football team. It was just whether in this moment Ed Ogeron could out-coach Nick Saban. If LSU could out-execute the Crimson Tide. If LSU could play the full 60 minutes. And what we saw was the answer is a resounding yes. You can't say enough about Joe Burrow after yesterday. That guy should win the Heisman, and that guy should be the number one pick of the NFL draft. Because look at that moxie and look at that effectiveness. Joe Burrow went 31 of 39 for 393, three touchdowns, and had huge yards on the ground, 64 yards scrambling. As LSU put up 46 points in Tuscaloosa, 46 points. That Tigers offense, we already knew was scary, but now we know they can do it when it matters most. And let's just say it, Alabama had so many mistakes, had so many self-inflicted wounds, penalties, turnovers, muffed snaps on the punt, Tua just dropping the ball on the opening possession. That looked so un-Bama-like. But that's what happens when a great team like LSU applies the pressure. Alabama had to be perfect, and they weren't. Props to LSU. And how about the emotion from Ed Ogeron yesterday, following the game, following the win, following the moment with Jamie Erdahl on CBS?
You know what? It's a great game to be in, a great rivalry. I am so happy for the state of Louisiana and all the LSU fans and our football team and our coaching staff. They worked very hard for this victory. It's a much-deserved victory for our football team and our great state of Louisiana and our great university in LSU.
Joe Burrow has changed the way this team runs its offense. What does this do for his legacy as an LSU quarterback?
Hey, you know, he's one of the best we've had here. But we still got four games left. And we're going down the road. We're going to try to win them every game. And we're going to bring a championship back to Louisiana.
Number one, how can you not root for that guy? Number one, how did that not give you shivers? Number two, though, Ed Ogeron, if you watch this post-game interview with Jamie, he's tearing up. He's welling up with tears. This is how much it means to him. This is a coach that's been passed over time and time again by this school. USC didn't want him. LSU didn't want him. And here he is going to Tuscaloosa and his team scoring more points than Bama had given up in nearly 100 years. That was staggering. Alabama had a 31-game home win streak. Snapped as Joe Burrow nearly threw for 500 yards had he stayed on the pace that he had at halftime, 252, and LSU nearly hung half a hundred. What can you say about LSU? And that game had it all. My goodness, was that fun. Earlier in the day in the Big Ten, two undefeateds went at it. And the Minnesota Golden Gophers, you betcha, get the win over Penn State.
Crowd is going nuts right now. Talking defense here, sideline going crazy. Quarterback Clifford waits for the snap with Brown next to him on third down and 23. Has time, waiting, pressure comes, firing toward the end zone, intercepted! Gophers got it! It's picked off by Jordan Howden in the end zone!
They just have incredible resolve. Their response mechanism. Our culture is what it is. It's people, it's vision, it's work, it's result, and response. That's what it is, and they respond like no other team I've ever seen. And they deserve all the credit. I just am lucky enough to talk to you at the end of the game. That's basically all I do.
P.J. Fleck, head coach, Minnesota, 31-26 over Penn State. And don't look now, but the Gophers have to be in the playoff conversation. I know nobody took Minnesota seriously going into yesterday, myself included. I thought Penn State would win and win easily. But boy, that Nittany Lions defense that was supposed to be so good got exposed yesterday. Got absolutely exposed. And you've got to give unbelievable credit to P.J. Fleck. Because Fleck has a lot of Fleckisms, a lot of slogans, a lot of cute catchphrases, and sometimes it masks the fact that the guy is really effective. And wherever he goes, they tend to win. And that is happening again at Minnesota. And now you've got to wonder if this Minnesota team actually is good enough to beat Ohio State, if it comes down to that, in a Big Ten championship game. I don't think so, but I didn't think they could do what they did yesterday to Penn State. At the very least, Minnesota puts itself squarely in this conversation about the playoff, and who would have ever thought that going into this season? Fleck and the Gophers rise to the challenge, and they had a wonderful day yesterday. And finally, in the NFL, breaking news this morning, Matthew Stafford is out. He has been an Iron Man for Detroit. He has played through injury, but apparently broken bones in his back will keep him sidelined today as they take on the Chicago Bears. And Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy have absolutely no excuse to lose to a Stafford-less Detroit Lions team today.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not, but they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of people or what we're going through or what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing.
We want everybody to be able to let their personality show when you have things happen the way that they have with us. Sometimes as a younger player, younger person, younger coach, whoever you are, sometimes you can let that affect you. And I don't think that's just him. I think that's everybody.
That was Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky, and I don't know where Trubisky's getting his leadership tips from, perhaps a dummy's guide to leadership. It always feels like Mitchell Trubisky is kind of sitting in his treehouse all week, reading comic books, sipping on some type of Ecto cooler, and coming up with an idea of what leadership means. Oh, yeah, today we're gonna shut off the TVs, the facility. Yeah. Then I'm going to talk about my body language, and I'm going to be rad out there. I'm just going to go out there to show these guys that I really care. It's going to be tubular, man. It's like, where is this coming from? Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky today. If they don't out-duel Jeff Driscoll and the Lions, game, set, match, season is over for the Bears. They just got a big gift dropped into their lap today as Stafford has a 136-game start streak snap. If they lose today, I don't want to hear about them the rest of the season. They have to win today. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Temperatures in the 40s at Soldier Field today. The Bears absolutely cannot allow Jeff Driscoll to beat them in their house today. When we come back here on the show, our favorite segment each and every week, Excessive Celebration. Let's hear from the play-by-play guys after Illinois' amazing comeback and Oklahoma surviving. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Happy Sunday Morning Football to you. Each and every week we do this, breaking down college football from Saturday and the NFL on Sunday. You can watch us at watchda.com. That's available on any device. You can watch us on your phone, on your tablet, on your PC, your desktop. Watch us every morning on Sundays at watchda.com. Also, so many different ways you can listen across the CBS Sports Radio Network, also on Sirius XM Channel 206, and on your phone using the radio.com app or Apple Music or the CBS Sports app. Coming up, we are celebrating 100 years of the NFL all season long. Right here on the show, we've had some Super Bowl champions and Pro Football Hall of Famers and some of the best ever to do it. That continues today. Willie Rofe, who is a Canton inductee, a Pro Football Hall of Famer for his work with the Saints and the Chiefs on the offensive line, one of the most dominant presences ever on the offensive line. He's going to join us coming up here in approximately 15 minutes from now. So Willie Rofe, as we look back on 100 years of the NFL with some of the greats, is going to join us here on Sunday Morning Football at about 40 minutes past the hour. But first up, it's excessive celebration.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it. It's excessive celebration.
It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
Illinois came into this season as one of the bottom dwellers of the Big Ten. People laughed at Lovie Smith. They looked at his beard and said, Lovie Smith looks like he's out of work. He should be warming his hands underneath an overpass somewhere. Illinois trailed yesterday against Michigan State on the road in East Lansing, 31-10 going into the fourth quarter. It was a 3-touchdown lead for the Spartans going into the final quarter at home. And the Fighting Illini kept fighting and come roaring all the way back.
Down to 10. Peters rolls right. Looks to the end zone. Lob. Touchdown! He's got it! He's got a touchdown! Daniel Parker! Daniel Parker with 5 seconds left! Touchdown, Illinois!
Brian Barnes on Learfield, IMG College. What can you say about Illinois? They come all the way back from down 31-10 to steal it 37-34 and become bowl eligible. Don't look now, but the Illini are 4-3 in the Big Ten and 6-4 overall. And what does this say about D'Antonio's team? I mean, my goodness. This is a team that has oftentimes been defined by defense. This has been a program defined by its stellar play on the defensive side of the football. And leading by 3 touchdowns over Illinois and coughing it up has got to be one of the lowest moments in the last couple of decades for Michigan State fans today. The Illini shock the Spartans yesterday, 37-34, and props to Lovie. And props to Illinois becoming bowl eligible. Oklahoma had its first loss handed to them a couple weeks ago against K-State. But if they would remain a one-loss Big 12 champ, Oklahoma would be in the discussion, you would think, for a college football playoff bid. But yesterday, against Iowa State, Oklahoma's defense once again getting exposed. And the Cyclones had a chance to steal a win at the end.
The back is whole. 2-point conversion try. Purdy back to pass. Looks left under pressure. Throws late. It is incomplete. Motley's got it. It's either intercepted or it's incomplete. Either way, it'll work. The Sooners have dodged a bullet again.
42-41. OU moves to 8-1. That's Toby Rowland on Learfield IMG College. Oklahoma's offense might be good. That defense is not college football playoff worthy. That's a disgrace. I mean, Iowa State in Norman has a two-point conversion to win. Oklahoma needs to be written out of the college football playoff rankings. That cannot happen. You already had your face plant day, and then yesterday you allow Iowa State to drive down the field, and Brock Purdy had five touchdowns on you. Brock Purdy threw for five touchdowns yesterday against Oklahoma in Norman. Cannot happen. Iowa State scored 20 unanswered in the fourth quarter. 20 unanswered on the road in Norman in the fourth quarter. Sooners, get out of here. You do not have a valid place within the college football playoff rankings. Maybe Baylor remains undefeated, goes through the Big 12, and wins that conference. And maybe we'll talk about them. We cannot talk about the Sooners. That's disgraceful. And finally, Boise State, who's had a couple of slip-ups recently, staring down the Wyoming Cowboys, hoping to pull out a W.
Spore will be the holder. Hooper will be the snapper for the tie. It's 20-17, Boise State leading from 37 yards out. Snap, hold. Roth's kick is up, and Roth's kick is off the crossbar. No good, and the Broncos win. And at the crossbar, and Boise State hangs on to win it in overtime, 20-17.
That's Boise State on Learfield IMG College Radio Network as the Boise State Broncos survive at home on the blue turf last night, 20-17. Outlasting Wyoming. It wasn't a great offensive day for Boise State, but once again, without Hank Bachmeier, their starting quarterback, Boise State had been handed their first loss of the season a couple of weeks back. Last night, it wasn't great. Boise State was led by Chase Cord, less than 200 yards passing, but a win is a win is a win, and the Broncos will remain ranked and are still hoping to be in that conversation and still are in that conversation for a New Year's Six Bowl bid. The Broncos survived 20-17 on the missed kick that hits the crossbar by Wyoming last night in Idaho. And that is your excessive celebration. We're talking about LSU's enormous victory yesterday in Tuscaloosa. We're talking about the NFL today. Matthew Stafford out for the Detroit Lions as they travel to Soldier Field. And next hour, we'll also discuss the Bills potentially putting a nail in the Freddie Kitchens coffin today in Cleveland. But when we come back, one of the greatest offensive linemen ever to do it, Pro Football Hall of Famer Willie Roaf on his time in New Orleans and his time in Kansas City and his career in the NFL ending up in Canton. He'll join us next. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody. So glad you're with us. Damon Amendolara, DA with you, joining us here on the show. Pro Football Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, as we celebrate 100 years of the NFL, one of the greatest offensive linemen ever to do it. 11-time Pro Bowler, former member of the Saints and the Chiefs, Willie Roaf, a.k.a. Nasty, joining us on the show. Willie, good morning.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, my man. Thank you. How you doing?
Hey, man, I can't complain. I'm down in Florida, man. It's still warm. Enjoying life. My daughter's a senior in high school. And, man, it, you know, transitioning away from football, everything's a little different now.
Yeah, I bet. Well, about a month ago, you got together with some of your former Chiefs offensive line teammates. And that offensive line for the Chiefs in the early 2000s was absolutely incredible. You were with Will Shields, Brian Waters, John Tate as well. What was it like to get together with the guys that you spent years in the trenches with?
Man, it was great to see the guys. It's always good. I hadn't seen, we called him Tater Tot, John Tate. I hadn't seen Tate in a few years since Will got enshrined. And Casey's coaching his son's baseball team, so we didn't see him. But seeing those guys and being there with Brian and Will, and man, just took back those memories of you know, I didn't know who Brian was, and Billy Long would talk about him, and, you know, obviously me and Will came out together, and we knew each other. I was running up for the Allen Trophy behind Will coming out of college from Nebraska, so me and him had a lot of history together, and seeing him in the Pro Bowl, we didn't play each other a lot. So we had a lot of respect for each other, and I always told Will that, you know, we'll see who has the best career because he beat me for the Allen Trophy, so I was mad about that leaving college. But we had a special bond, and we worked out every Wednesday. We were there by 7 o'clock in the morning, and we were in the weight room. We were meeting early. We were watching film. And that's what made us so good. We had that common denominator, and, you know, I will say that I did have the early in my career, I learned a lot from Jim Dombrowski in New Orleans. He was a consummate pro and taught me a lot those first few years in the league, and my line coach, Coach Maxco. And then in 2000, we had that real good line in New Orleans. But those years in Kansas City with that group, the way we were able to go up and down the field was real special.
Willie Rofe is our guest this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. I had the great pleasure to cover you guys in Kansas City during those years, and the weaponry you guys had was crazy. I mean, two Hall of Famers of the offensive line, as you mentioned. You had Tony Gonzalez, one of the greatest pass catchers ever in NFL history at tight end. Priest Holmes at the time, perennial Pro Bowler in the backfield. Trent Green pulling all the triggers at the quarterback position. When you think back to all of the offensive weaponry that you had of the parts, is it pretty amazing to think back and remember some of those times?
It is. You know, it's different now. You know, think about it. We had Eddie had some real good years then, his best years he played. But we didn't have – Dante was in the slot some. But we think about the speed they have now with these little receivers like Tyreek Hill, and then they drafted the kid who looks like a little miniature Tyreek Hill and Watson. And we had – our thing was more of a power game. And we rushed for – he had 27 touchdowns. He was averaging 20-some touchdowns every year. He probably was there. And then when he went down, Larry Johnson had 1,700 yards that one year. But our game was more of a – power game, and we would hit you over the top and do the play action down the field. But I mean, we used the receivers, but we didn't really use them as much as we did use Tony and those other guys. So our game was built around power, the screen, the running backs, and then we would hit you over the top once we got that running game going. So it was special because of the way we were able to do it. And it was hard for them to slow us down because we went left most of the time running about. We always told Will and John we had to keep modest and go right a little bit, but we did go left, especially when things when we really wanted to get a first down or whatever. But it was the way we did it and the way we were able to do it. It was so much fun. Like I said, I didn't know. You know, I knew John was struggling something right and left and moving to right. And I knew about Casey and Will. You know, I didn't really know that much about Casey and Will. And Brian had just been playing in NFL Europe in that year in 01, the year before I got there. Was really his first year playing. So, I mean, it just all kind of came together. And you remember the year before I got there was the first year Vermeer was there. And they figured out Priest was going to be the back. And at first they were – Priest and Tony Richardson were running the ball, and then they finally put it in Priest's hands, and then that's when he blew up and had like 1,600 yards rushing the year before I got there.
Yep, no doubt. Willie Rofe joining us as we all season long celebrating 100 years of the NFL with the greatest that ever did it. He's a member of the College Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And before you got to Kansas City with all those names you mentioned, Casey Wigman at center, Eddie Kennison at wide receiver, you also had Johnny Morton at wide receiver, yep. Dante Hall. You played for a great New Orleans Saints team as well that went to the postseason. And I saw your recent power rankings on Twitter. You can follow Willie on Twitter at Willie_Rofe. And you didn't have the Saints at number one. I was shocked about this. The Saints are not the best team in the NFL in your mind?
Who's number one? Who did I have that week?
Well, you had the Patriots at number one, which is understandable before they lost to the Ravens.
Right now, I will say I will have the Saints. We have to move the Saints up to number one.
Okay.
Because of what Teddy Bridgewater was able to do. And I will tell you something. I went to the game, and that Saints line was struggling a little bit when they played Dallas. But that line has really, really stepped it up. The way they're able to run protect, run block, and pass block, and they've been Teron Armstead and Ramchak are really playing some good football. I know I have a personal relationship with Armstead, so I'm proud of those guys. When you know you have a good offensive line, is when guys go down, like what happened with us in 2000 when Ricky Waters, Rick Williams went down, and we were able to run the ball. In Kansas City, we put a lot up anybody back there. When Jeff Blake got hurt and Aaron Brooks got in there, we have a good line and people get hurt and you continue to make plays and guys will continue to make it happen and get out the people up front and you're still winning games and being productive, you know you have a pretty good line.
No doubt. Willie Rofe joining us this morning, a member of the 1990s All-Decade team, a member of the 2000s All-Decade team. I saw Jared Allen say that he looks at you as one of the biggest reasons he became a Pro Bowler in the NFL. He said he used to beat his tail in practice so often that he had to figure out a way to try to beat you. And he said, man, if I can figure out a way to beat Willie Rofe, maybe I can stay in this league and have a job. You remember those battles?
Yeah, but you got to understand, I was year 11, 12, or 13. Jared was being a guy coming out of college. I mean, he was still a puppy then. And Jared, I think, if I'm not mistaken, did he break DT's record for sacks as a rookie? Whatever. Jared was a heck of a player. And you know what happened? They drafted Jared to be a long snapper or something. I don't even think they knew how good Jared was going to be. But I remember going at Jared some. But, you know, I was a seasoned vet. And I was at the end of my career, and he was just coming into the league. So, yeah, he figured it out. And, he should be looking at getting in the Hall. But I will say that I was very I saw my rankings all time, you know, from the writers in New Orleans. You know, obviously I was high there, but I was very, very happy and when they had me like 10 or 11 with the 10 all time with the Chiefs. So, I mean, I got a lot from them 4 years. I mean, like I said, people sometimes, you know, say, Willie, what about New Orleans or Kansas City? I said, man, it was great in New Orleans, but if it wasn't for Kansas City and me going to a whole nother conference, and other than the decade teams, I basically made the other decade team in Kansas City. So the person I look at that did what I did, Gary Zimmerman, if you remember his career, was real good in Minnesota and went to the Broncos and was real good with the Broncos. So, I mean, it's a lot of guys do it with one team, but if you transition and go to another conference, they're able to play at a high level for a matter of time. It's not that many that have done that.
Willie Rofe joining us this morning here on the show. Willie, an 11-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first-team All-Pro, a member of 2 All-Decade teams, the 1990s and the 2000s, a College Football Hall of Famer and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Willie, thanks so much for joining us, man. This was awesome. I appreciate it very much. Willie Rofe joining us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. And that Chiefs offensive line was so dominant. And it's kind of amazing that they never won a playoff game. I mean, the streak that the Chiefs had of never winning a playoff game was insane into itself. But to know that they were in the middle of an offense that had 2 NFL Hall of Famers on the line and Tony Gonzalez, an NFL Hall of Famer at tight end, and a Pro Bowl quarterback in Trent Green, and a Pro Bowl tailback in Priest Holmes, that at that time was the most dangerous weapon for a running back in the NFL. The idea that they never won a playoff game is crazy. And I'll never forget the no punt game, which every Chiefs fan wears as a scar. But against Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts, the Chiefs in 2003, that was Dante Hall's breakout crazy season. They go 13-3. They're the 2 seed in the AFC, and they're hosting the Colts in the divisional round after a bye. And that awful, porous Chiefs defense didn't force a punt. In fact, neither defense did. That was the 2 offenses that day at Arrowhead Stadium. The only change of possession was a Priest Holmes fumble. And 13-3 went up in smoke for the Chiefs. But that offensive line was just stupid talented and powerful and amazing. Really cool to catch up with Willie Rofe. Yesterday in Tuscaloosa, the LSU Tigers pull the upset. Now, LSU, to me, was the better football team going into the game. They proved they were definitely the better football team after it was all said and done. But how about this stat? That was the most points, 46, that Alabama has given up since 1970 when they gave up 48 to Ole Miss. That happened on the road. This is the most points that Tuscaloosa has ever seen. This is the most points that Alabama's ever given up at home since 1907 when they gave up 54 points to Sewanee. Yeah. That goes to show you what Joe Burrow did yesterday is that historic. 46 points had never been done against Alabama, home or road, under Ray Perkins, Bill Curry, Gene Stallings, Mike DuBose, Dennis Franchione, Mike Price, who didn't really coach, Mike Shula, and Nick Saban. Nobody had ever dropped that many points against Alabama. And Joe Burrow and LSU just did it yesterday. Incredible. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Jay is in South Carolina listening to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, D.A., how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Hey, great interview with Willie Rope. That was awesome.
Thank you, man.
Hey, so all cards on the table. I'm a Clemson grad. I'm an ACC fan. So I feel like I'm coming from this from an objective angle. So you were talking about Oklahoma being eliminated essentially from the playoffs due to their basically god-awful defensive performance, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, there seems to be, and I'm not a black helicopter guy, but you can't help but feel like when you're not part of the SEC that there's this bias towards when anybody else in the league or in the country gives up 30, 40, 50 points, they're god-awful at defense. Meanwhile, LSU this year gave up 40 to Vanderbilt, 35 to a backup at Florida. You know, you just talked about Alabama giving up 40. Alabama giving up 45 to Clemson last year in the playoffs. You get my point. So why do you think it is that it's okay for the SEC to kind of have come into the modern ages and adapt their offenses and now suddenly be allowed to give up 40 or 50 points a game and get a pass when the Big 12 and some other conferences, the Pac-12, get labeled as soft?
I think it's a fair question. I think it's because the football media looks at more quality teams and depth in the SEC. I don't think we ever expected Alabama's defense to look like that yesterday. I don't think we ever really expect LSU's defense to be bad after all of these great years of good defense. But I think also when you look at LSU, I don't think their defense is going to be held against them because they have big boy wins. A big boy win in Tuscaloosa, a big boy win against Texas, a big boy win against Auburn, a big boy win against Florida. These are really quality opponents. And while they might give up more points in yards than their defenses of yesteryear, I think your point's interesting that we kill the Big 12 because they play no defense, and now we're seeing two of the best teams in the SEC, the two best teams in the SEC, play a game of the 40s. That looks a lot like the Big 12. But I think if you're asking me why people are not going to hold LSU's defense against them, it's because they have so many quality wins within the conference. And then you add in the Texas win, if you consider that a quality win as well. All right, when we come back here on the show, speaking of, we'll talk about something we never see that happened in the Alabama game yesterday, Alabama beating itself. Also, in the NFL, the Carolina Panthers might be looking beyond Cam Newton today and in the future. We'll talk about that as well. DA, Sunday Morning Football. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.